Father, we'll thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you, Lord, throughout the day. We will praise your name. And Lord, we exalt you above all else. We give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Thank you for giving us the ability to come together this morning to fellowship, study the word of God, and to hear what the Spirit is saying to us. Therefore, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding, even to the simple this morning. Let us receive that light and that understanding. Give inspiration of the Holy Spirit to all of us as we speak and listen and share. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So, this book of James can be a complex book. And we started a couple of days ago on the subject of, you know, if you need wisdom, you got to pray with it, but you got to pray by faith. Ask for wisdom by faith. And that led us into this comparison of faith and wisdom. You know, so we went into more on that subject. Yesterday we talked about how we can use faith for our healing, our health, and our wellness. Today we want to talk about the responsibilities that we have, and this is more in line of the wisdom part, for our health and wellness. So it's yesterday was faith for healing, wisdom for health and wellness. But let's talk about the responsibilities that we may have. Just a quick summary from yesterday. We gave many promises, perhaps a couple of dozen or so of all the different places where the Lord talked about his intention to give us health and to heal us when we are sick, and to give us wellness. Jesus even said in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So what does abundant life look like? You know, so, I mean, definitely not just life, not just hanging by the thread, or not just, you know, barely living, but living well. That's abundant life. Living well, living in health, living in wellness. I mean, if we are constantly having health issues, constantly running up and down, you know, to get the help on our health issues, well, I don't think that that's an abundant life. An abundant life that Jesus had in mind would have to involve good health and wellness. There's such a thing that we might even call divine health. Well, it takes faith, actually, to believe for all those things. To believe that not only can God heal you if you're sick, but to also believe that God can actually keep you in a state of health and wellness, that you don't have to get sick. It takes faith to believe all of that. But there are some things that we can do to help that along. Things that we can do even when we are sick. Things that we can do when we are well, in order for us to stay well, you know, and things that we can do, you know, just around this subject. I will also include the subject of, you know, some biblical guide that God gives us in the scriptures concerning eating right and healthy living. There's a lot of stuff in the scriptures for that. You know, we don't often talk about it. But when we do, we need to talk about it from the perspective of not only the scriptures, but the advantage of knowledge that we know today. You know, we're told in the scriptures in the days of Daniel that knowledge shall increase. Well, knowledge has indeed increased. And we know a lot more things now about the right kind of nutrition and various things that we may not have known. There may be some things that are in the Bible. We probably back then God didn't explain all of it. But, you know, people have made a lot of discoveries. You know, so it's a very vast subject. I'll see how much of it we can cover today. So certain responsibilities that God may expect of us concerning our health and wellness. We start in Genesis 1:29. We read this one yesterday. How that in the beginning we saw that what God gave for food was actually, you know, the plants and the trees and the fruits. It wasn't exactly at first. It wasn't exactly all these meats and so on. You know, the Lord said in Genesis 1:29 that I have given you, you know, the green herb, the fruit tree bearing fruit within itself, and all these things, and it shall be to you for food. And so there has to be a lesson there, you know, if that's what God said. There has to be a lesson there. Every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And so there's got to be some wisdom there, and the lesson that God wanted us to look more towards the, you know, green herbs, and so on and so forth, and the trees and the fruits. And it's been proven by science and nutritionists that, you know, some of those things are much more healthy for us than for us to be eating all these other things that are not healthy, meats and so forth. But that doesn't mean that God said that we have to be vegetarian and not to eat meat. That's not what I'm saying. But let's see what, you know, some guidelines that God gives us concerning. It's not just about eating and drinking. It's about, you know, all areas of your health is what we want to talk about today. But we have to start somewhere, you know, and, you know, so we yesterday looked at, you know, the case of Daniel when he thought within himself that he did not want any of the king's dainty meats, decided he wanted pulse, which are like green bees, you know, and beans and those kinds of things, you know, that he wanted. He wanted to stay away from all those other stuff. And he and his friends looked better after just 2 weeks, 10 days. They actually looked better. So that gave us an insight that, you know, these things might actually be good for us. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We read that yesterday. We're told to glorify God even in our eating. You know, so whatever we do, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 31, even in eating and drinking, we're told that we should glorify God in it. And so we're going to go more into that today. Sometime back when I was researching this subject, I found this acronym that someone put out. So I borrowed it. They called it New Start. New Start acronym. All the things that you can do to check within yourself to make sure that you have, you know, you're taking care of these responsibilities for your health and wellness. N would stand for nutrition. E would stand for exercise. W would stand for water. So that's the new. And then the other one is start, S-T-A-R-T. Well, S there could be sunshine. Make sure you get some of that. Even doctors recommend, you know, some vitamin D and so forth. You know, you got to have the right kind of temperature. You know, temperature can be an indication of a problem. We find that medical people, even home remedies were thought to, you know, check. When someone is sick, for one of the first things to check is their temperature. Make sure you get the right amount of air, oxygen, and so forth. Well, sometimes you need to go out, you know, into the light woods, maybe the park around your area, you know, with the trees and stuff like that to get fresh air. You're choked up in the house all the time. You may not get the fresh air that you need. R stands for rest. Make sure you have enough rest. God actually promises us good rest. Say, for so he giveth his beloved rest. That's scriptures for all of these things. And last, but not the least, actually the most important, the T would stand for trust in the Lord to give you the great health. So faith, you see that faith still comes in. You can do everything that you should do, but you also still have to have faith in God to prosper the thing that you're doing concerning your health and even anything else in our lives. Whatever it is that we're trying to do, we do whatever we can, but we always need faith to trust that God will prosper, you know, the thing. If we're looking for a blessing from the Lord on the work of our hands, the dew of heaven, still takes faith to believe God for that. You know, so nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, temperature, air, rest, and trusting in God. You know, all these things will form a New Start acronym. You might want to take note of that. And those are areas. Nutrition is so broad. I don't even know if we can, I mean, we can take a whole week just talking about that, but I'll try not to take a whole week. And then today, I want to just point us to some things quickly in the Bible, you know, that, you know, God instructions that he gave us and, you know, some things that we saw. You know, first of all, you talk, you know, you heard about the Genesis 1:29 and even to the, you know, the beast of the field, Genesis 1:30, the next verse, the things that God, you know, gave us for us to eat and all that. Now we see that in those, well, I might call the vegetarian period from Adam to Noah, you know, after the flood, we see that God actually came back and permitted the eating of meat or flesh after the flood. You can read that in Genesis chapter 9. And in the first four verses, God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Same commandment that he gave and same blessing that he gave to Adam in the beginning. He's repeating it now after the flood. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall come upon every beast of the earth. Now, this means we should rule over the beasts and upon every fowl of the air and upon everything that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the field, seas, into your hand, they are delivered. Powerful, powerful. You know, we call it dominion. stuff that God, you know, returned and put upon Adam. I mean, Noah here. Adam had it. They lost it. God brought it back and put it upon Noah here. Every moving thing that moveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. So now you see that firstly was the green herb. I don't know what was in the mind of God. Yeah, but now he's permitting. He said, you know, you can now eat all things, but flesh with the life or the blood therein ye shall not eat. So that was the one thing he said, stay away from the eating of blood. And we see that it became even an ordinance to the children of Israel later, and so on and so forth. But, you know, God gave it right here in Genesis 9. You know, so, but let's take a look at those people, how long they lived back then. Of course, we know the light of the glory of God was with them in the beginning, but who knows? Perhaps also the food that they were eating might have contributed to it. Let's check out a few of these people. Adam lived for 930 years. You can read that in Genesis 5:5. Seth lived for 912 years. You can read it in Genesis 5:6. These are the generations of Adam, starting from Seth. And Enos lived for 905 years in Genesis 5:11. And then Jared, you know, lived for 962 years, Genesis 5:20. And then Methuselah, this was the longest of them all, lived for 969 years, Genesis 5:27. Well, you know, who knows? But, you know, perhaps what they were eating contributed to all of that longevity. Now, of course, we know that the glory and the light of God that was upon Adam, it took a long time before it finally fizzled out. But again, you know, the food that they were eating might have contributed to all that long life. So there may be wisdom there for us to learn. Now, the instruction, I mean, the introduction of meat later on, you know, people started to live much shorter lives. Abraham, I mean, and it was still long compared to us now. Abraham lived for 175 years. Moses lived 120 years and so on and so forth. You know, but, you know, they started to be shorter and shorter and shorter. You know, Isaac and the rest of them, and some of them lived a good life, but nobody crossed over into 200 anymore after that. Maybe a 167, maybe 175, maybe 120, you know. And but at that time, we noticed also they already started eating meat. So maybe there's a correlation, and maybe not. You draw your own conclusions. However, we see that it is not because of being accursed necessarily, you know, but it is probably more so because of healthy reasons. Could be the reason that God, you know, asked them to not eat certain kinds of animals. But we see that this vegetarian kind of diet, you know, will be restored later on, you know, and things like that. Perhaps in the millennium, who knows? Perhaps when the Lord brings everything back in alignment. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock. And, you know, dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain anymore. I mean, there'll be no prowling on, you know, these wild animals that, you know, have been wild and prowling on the other side. Look, you know, I'm going to change all of that. So maybe that's what God intended, you know, from the beginning. And, you know, he will probably bring it all back around again. The tree of life will also be restored. And we might notice that this tree of life that is being restored, it was in the garden in the beginning. Clear from the beginning, we started to learn about the tree of life. They didn't get a chance to get into it, but it was right there. And then you know, we see that all the way to the end, the tree of life, you know, comes back again in Revelation chapter 22 at the very end. He said, the Lord showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, Revelation 22 and verse 1, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of this river, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which had 12 manner of fruits. And you see, this tree of life carried fruits, yielded her fruit every season. And even the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. I mean, you would think that that had to be important in order for God to be bringing it back all at the end. I mean, that look, you know, people can eat of this tree of life and continue to live, even, you know, health. Healing here is actually the health, the longevity of the nations. God will begin to put life into them by they eating the fruit of the tree of life. Whatever that means, it is indicative of the same kind of thing that God had in the beginning, where he gave vegetation and fruits. And we see that right at the end, he's still talking about vegetation and fruits. Even the tree of life. It's not the meat of life. Some meats may be good for certain things, but too much of it may or may not be. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But see where the direction that God is showing us here. So maybe there's some wisdom to that. There are all kinds of biblical laws in the Bible. You know, there's what we call the moral law, you know, and God summed up all of that in the, you know, there's some of it in the Ten Commandments, right? The moral laws, you can read Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. You have the moral laws there. And then you have also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verses 7 to 21. I'm not going to stop and read all these things, otherwise the lesson will be too long. I'm just giving the references. In Deuteronomy 5, 7 to 21, the moral law was also described, you know. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not be a witness, the false witness, thou shalt, all this stuff, moral laws. Then we see that there were also what we call the ceremonial laws, many chapters from Exodus 25 through chapter 40, and also the book of Leviticus has many things to say about many of these so-called ceremonial laws. You know, I'll leave that alone, not going into that. There's also the dietary law. Well, that's the one I want to talk about a little bit today. In the book of Leviticus chapter 11 and also Deuteronomy chapter 14. Now, because we are referencing whole chapters, I'm not going to read all of them. But these are the basis of the discussion today. You can, if you want to go into more of a deep dive study on your own, since we should all be Bible students, you might want to take some time and read through these chapters that I gave and see what might the Holy Spirit might show you out of those readings. Leviticus 11 talks about a lot of things. Deuteronomy chapter 14 talks about a lot of things. Some of them perhaps are pertinent to today's lesson. You know, so bear that in mind. We're not going there really to read all of it, but, you know, bear it in mind. But some of the things that he was talking about there, you know, clean and unclean, the food that you should eat or not eat, you know, and all of those things, you know. Without understanding, people might think that it was just a bunch of laws. You know, don'ts, I mean, do's and don'ts, you know, and so forth. But with deeper understanding, we see that there might actually be reasons why the Lord gave all these things. In fact, he went into a lot of detail. I mean, you're not going to believe it until you read those chapters. You know, the detail that he went into for, you know, the kind of meat that they shall eat, the one that they should not eat, you know, how to identify what they can eat or not eat, the animals that, you know, look like these or have this kind of, you know, parted your hoof and so on and so forth. I mean, he went into a lot of stuff. The kind of fish you should eat, the kind you should not eat. All these things are there, you know, and the kind of birds that you can eat, the ones you shouldn't eat. He went into all of these things. That whole chapter of Leviticus 11, a lot of stuff, you know. So I just throw it there to, you know, challenge our reading. You know, I'm not going to really go into reading it. Deuteronomy chapter 14 comes back. Now, Book of Deuteronomy is more like a verbose rendition of some of the things that the Moses already told them. Come back and tell them even more. You know, so he goes again into all these things, you know, which in at that time he called abominable things you shouldn't eat. The beasts that you can't eat, he told them. The ones that you shouldn't eat, he told them. You know, the birds, the different things. So he told all of these things. Now, clean birds, he said, yeah, these are the clean birds. These are the unclean that you shouldn't eat. And we see that, you know, the Lord spent a whole lot of time putting all these things in the Bible. Well, there's got to be some lesson and some wisdom out of it. But that's all I'm going to say about that, because I want to do an active discussion here today. But I want to give you that food for thought, so to speak. So, but why would the Lord make unclean animals in any case? You know, it's a question that you can think about. There were some things that God created as scavengers to clean up anything that is left dead in the fields and in the seas. And, you know, thereby the Lord can keep disease germs from spreading over the earth and seas. You know, that's one reason. You know, and you might discover, unfortunately, today that some of the things that God put out there to be scavengers, they are called delicacies today. You'll be surprised. The things that people, you know, the seafood items that people call delicacies today, they were supposed to be scavenger animals that eat up all the junk. And this is the thing that people pay a lot of money, you know, to go eat in restaurants and things. But anyway, let's take a look at the, you know, the lessons that God brings in the Bible. First of all, remember that Jesus Christ, you know, is a fulfillment and embodiment of all those ceremonial laws. You can read that in the Hebrews chapter 9. I can't get into that today, but I'll just leave it there to, you know, spark something in your curiosity. You know, for us today who are called into the body of Christ, Jesus already fulfilled all those ceremonial laws for us. But I'll just leave it at that in Hebrews 9. I'm not getting into it today. Someday we'll come back and talk about it. The moral and the dietary laws remained in effect even till today. You know, and if you don't follow God's health laws, I don't care if you're a prophet or an apostle, you will get sick. And then you will need prayer. But if you followed the, you know, some of the wisdom that God gave, you know, maybe you can escape some of these things. So some responsibilities. There's a lot of things in the Bible about bread and grains. Even the diet that the Lord introduced to them when they were going into the promised land. You can read in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 8 and 9. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. Why do you call it a good land? You know, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths of springs out of valleys and hills. Now, people have figured out that, you know, spring water these days could be good. Well, you know, the Lord said these things in the beginning. A land of wheat and barley. So take notice of all these things that God is putting out here. I am by no means, you know, an expert on these things. I'm just doing a study of the Bible. And let me put a disclaimer out here right now. I make no pretense that these are all the only things that I eat or that I even eat these things, you know, but I'm telling you that these things are in the Bible. And there's an indication, because of the reason that they are there, that these are the things that might, you know, enhance our health. It talks about wheat, it talks about barley, it talks about vines and fig and pomegranates, olive oil, it talks about honey, it talks about bread. You know, these are the things, you know, Deuteronomy 8:8-9 that he talked about. You know, so there's got to be a reason for these things. There's other places where they talked about corn, parched corn and bread and so forth. I mean, these are the things they used to eat back in those days. David and King David himself ate bread on a regular basis. 1 Samuel 17:17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and take it to the camp. Your brethren who are in the, on the battlefield, you know, so, you know, these are some things there. Corn in the Bible times referred to, grains or seeds, you know, corn, it's grains or seeds. Jesus said in John 12:24, except a corn of wheat, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it bring forth much fruit. So Jesus always, in many of his lessons, used natural things, you know, just talk about corn, food, seed, stone, bread, all these things. But you see that the kind of food that were in his lessons were, might be indicative of the things that might be healthy. And science, nutritional science, has proven these things today, you know. So there's examples of where people ate parched corn and raisins and cakes, you know, and so forth in the Bible. 1 Samuel 25:18, you know, talks about, you know, some of these things, you know, and these things are hidden in the Bible. It's not something that we talk about all the time, but, and, you know, I'm not a preacher. God didn't send me to preach nutrition. You know, God didn't send me to do all these things, but just because we're on this subject, it's kind of like Paul said, God didn't send me to baptize. He focused on his, I focus on my ministry, which is working with God, faith and some other subjects like that. And of course, healing and so on. But occasionally we may venture into these things, you know, which is exactly what we're doing now. So, but I'm not here, you know, trying to teach you nutrition and so forth. There are people better qualified than myself, even on this platform. When you go into the discussions today, you'll see that there are more people better qualified than myself to talk on these things. But I'm just bringing these things out, bringing awareness that they are in the Bible. You know, that's what a teacher of Bible does. And, you know, a pastor is also responsible for bringing truths out of the Word of God. So that's what I'm doing here, is that, look, these things are in the Bible. He talked about, you know, get 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins. Some of you might not know that raisins are in the Bible. 200 cakes of fig and so on and so forth. So these things are in the Bible. I'm just calling awareness to them that they are in the Bible. You know, so also, and that was 1 Samuel 25:18. And it's been proven that these things are actually healthy today. In 2 Samuel 17, you know, in verse 27, it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, you know, that Shobi, the son of Nahash, and Rabbah, the children of Ammon, and Micaiah, the children of Amiel, and Lodabar, and all these people and so forth, that they brought, you know, forth, you know, these beds, basins, earthen vessels, and they brought wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils. If you search out, you know, if you search out these words today, you will see that they're kind of like the pulse that Daniel was talking about. You know, string beans, you know, all these things, grains, corn, and so forth. I mean, these things are in the Bible. Now, they're in the Bible when they were pure, not the ones that have been chemicalized and so forth, you know. But if they are pure, like Jesus, you know, his disciples used to go through the corn fields and pluck corn and so forth. I mean, the corn in its original way that God created it is really good because it's in the Bible. It's good for you. Now, they put a lot of things in it. By the time they put them in cans and different things, and it may not be so good. By the time they put all kinds of chemicals to grow these things, it might not be so good. But, you know, if you can get to the original stuff, parched pulse, we're told, includes, I mean, you can, it will be roasted grains, dehydrated pork, I mean, raw peas, various vegetables, and so forth. It's interesting to see that these things are actually in the scriptures. That's all I'm saying today, just to show you that these things are actually in the scriptures. So read it again, the things that they put there. Wheat, barley, flour, parched corn, beans, lentils, and parched pulse. You know, those things are in the Bible. 2 Samuel 17 and 28. And honey and butter and so forth. And cheese and all these things, you know, they are there. So, because they are in the Bible, they might point us in the direction of healthy living. And if you listen to those people who have done research and trained in these areas, they will tell you that there are healthy elements in these things that can actually help your health. Today, I'm only bringing awareness. Like I said, I'm not an expert in this area. But there's enough in the Bible to suggest that these things are healthy stuff. You know, so there's many more, you know, we already know that Daniel and his companions, we talked about that, they ate these grains that they called pulse. It would be all these things that we find here in 2 Samuel. And, so there's also, you know, wheat and barley, you know, that the scriptures talk about two of the most highlighted grains throughout the Old Testament were wheat and barley. You know, Genesis chapter 30 and verse 14 says, Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and so forth, found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. You might know that story. Naomi, we talked about, remember the other day we're talking about, you know, some things about Ruth and Naomi and so forth, and she went the bitterness of her spirit and all that. But here we're told that in Ruth chapter 1 verse 22, you know, we see again reference, and it came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. And so wheat and barley, whatever those things are today, if you find them in the, you know, original way before they put all the chemicals on them, you know, there's an indication that they will be healthy because these are the things that are written in the scriptures. Elisha, one time in 2 Kings chapter 4, you know, fed about 100 men with 20 barley loaves during a famine. Of course, you know, I mean, the Lord gave an increase there, but it was barley. You know, God gave him bread of the first fruits. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 42. First fruits of bread and 20 loaves of barley. And these are all the things that, you know, are mentioned in the Bible. And Jesus himself, you know, let's read about Jesus in John chapter 6. You know, And Jesus said, look, you know, these people, 5,000 men, women, and children, and so forth. You know, there was this story of 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. I don't think, believe that Jesus would be refusing to feed the multitudes if he wasn't good stuff. You know, John chapter 6, verse 8, one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there's a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. So what? Barley loaves, if you can find them, and fish, might be good stuff, because it's here. You know, and, you know, Jesus made them sit down and they ate. I mean, you know the story. And in verse 13, they didn't even want anything to be lost, because this was good stuff. You know, gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves and so forth. So these things were there. And even fast forward, you know, there's even reference in the book of Revelation when the seals were broken. There's even revelation, there's even reference there, you know, talking about, you know, the black horse and the apocalypse and so forth. There's even wheat and barley become important again. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and so forth. And him that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts that said, a measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hot not the oil and the wine. So we see oil, wine, wheat, barley, all these things. Now, this is wine that is unfermented grape juice. We're not talking of, you know, fermented wine that's alcoholic. Jesus never drank that stuff. You know, even the one he made in Cana of Galilee. You know, so they, wow, you've made the best for the last. This was good stuff, fresh, not the fermented stuff that's alcoholic. And, you know, so just drop that one there. There are other biblical grains talked about in Ezekiel chapter 4, verse 9, for instance. It says, take also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and, you know, fishes and all these things, you know. What are they? Well, you can read them in the Bible, and then you can search out some healthy food stores near you. See what they think about these things. In Arizona, we've got some, you know, healthy food stores. But I'm not going to go there because I'm not promoting their stuff here. You know, but today, you know, the bread that we're talking about in the Bible is not really the bread that we have today. You know, the way that they, you know, processed wheat, from wheat to white flour these days, there's a lot of steps that they have processed to it. And at the end, the refining process makes, I mean, they put even coloration, they put all kinds of things, bleaching and chemicals and so on and so forth, you know, various kinds of preservatives that are put that are dangerous, you know, to our health, even so lead to cancers. I mean, if you do some research, just casual research, like I said, I'm not an expert in this, but just casual research into how these things are produced, you see that, wow, you know, this, there's been a drastic departure from the things that God, you know, God, the way God wanted, you know, white flour, you know, I mean, you can find that not only in white bread and the toxic ways that these things are produced. They are in buns, hamburgers, you know, they're used in all kinds of things. You know, they're used in many pasta and cereal products. You know, read the boxes, you'll see them there. Now, should you, I mean, be so consumed with reading boxes? I know people that won't even eat anything. They won't even breathe because, you know, the air is polluted. They won't eat because it's handy. Look, bless your food and give thanks and eat and give glory to God, you know. But look, if you can avoid certain things, yeah, you can avoid that. If you can choose certain diets that may help you, yes. But let's not be consumed, you know, with, I gotta check every reading. I gotta check every writing. I gotta, you know, I can't eat this. I can't drink that. Pretty much you won't even be able to breathe. Yeah, as I know people like that, I can't even hardly breathe because they got to scrutinize everything, you know. And look, that thing can become an oppression, you know, if it gets too deep into that. You know, I'm trying to give just some wisdom, some guardrails, some parameters here. I'm not trying to lead anybody into crazy stuff, you know, but, you know, I'm sure discussions will come. But you can check out whole grain products and different things, you know. The even nutritional science will tell you, you know, there are certain things, you know, that are better when they are fresh, not frozen and refrigerated and frozen and all these things. You know, some of the things that they may label whole wheat and whole grain may not be. You have to look carefully. But the awareness I'm just trying to bring is that, look, we've got some things that may be good for us. We've got some processed foods that may not be good for us. Even some of the things that are mentioned in the Bible, once they have become so processed, like the bread, the way they create it now, it can be toxic. That's all I'm trying to say. And, there's also fish in the Bible. Jesus fed, you know, fish to people. Matthew chapter 14 commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. Verse 19, you know, they did 5 loaves and 2 fishes, just like we read before. You know, use the fishes, you know, and then they gathered things up. You know, the reason they gathered it up was because it was good stuff. If it was bad stuff to start with, Jesus wouldn't give it to them. And then he wouldn't even care to gather the people, gather them up. It's was good stuff. In Matthew chapter 15, also another 4,000 group of people also, you know, ate this kind of things, fishes. Even after the resurrection, we see that Jesus, when he appeared to them in John chapter 21, we're told that, you know, and I mentioned this story when we were talking about what is God cooking. I mentioned this story, you know. As soon as they were come to land, John 21 verse 9, they saw a fire of coals there and fish and bread. Remember I talked about fish sandwich that Jesus was cooking. You know, so these things, the fact that Jesus was the one preparing it, it had to be good stuff. Well, what kind of fish? Well, that's another question. What kind of bread? Yeah, that's another question. You know, so there are some clean and unclean fish. You can read that in Leviticus chapter 11 that we have referenced before. You know, it talked about the ones, how do you discover the ones that are clean and clean? Well, it talked about fins and scales and different things that you can eat. And it talked about those that don't have fins and they don't have, you know, and it gave you some ideas. I'm not going to get too far into those, but you know, what we thought were accursed for some other reasons, well, actually, perhaps even for health reasons, because science has proven that some of these things that God condemned in the Bible, they were actually not healthy. And so, you know, that may have been the reason why the Lord condemned them. You know, he said, don't eat the ones that do not have fins, you know. All that shall not have fins in the seas and all these rivers and so forth, they shall be an abomination to you. Don't eat them. Well, you know, those things are actually the sumptuous and delicacies that we like today. Catfish and all these things, they don't have scales, you know. So, but just think about it. I'm not here promoting one thing versus the other. Just bringing awareness to these things. There are some things that do have scales, though. You know, yeah, some of them are called, you know, swordfish, lumpfish, and so on. And there are different kinds of European flyfish that have scales. This is just research. Nothing too crazy about, but I'm just bringing attention. There's also what we called farm-raised. You know, people talk about these things. What are farm-raised versus wild-caught fish? Farm-raised may not have the, you know, high nutritional values that, you know, wild-caught fish may have, because they may have put some coloration and some other things in there, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of things in the Bible and even in our contemporary life, today that we know about lobsters, shrimps, crayfish, and all these things, you know, that people crave over that may actually be very unhealthy and unclean. But some of these things were made as scavengers in the oceans and the rivers. But these are the things we pay big money for to go and eat. Stuff about meat, you know, it's red meat, it was a specialty food in those days, you know, when they ate these things. It wasn't something they ate on a regular basis, but, you know, it was something they, you know, when they had a, you know, something like a feast. Genesis 18, verse 7. Abraham, you know, went into the herd, caught a calf of tender and good and gave it to a young man and kissed it to dress it. He was trying to serve, you know, when God had visited him. Was trying to serve these things. He took also butter and milk and dressed the calf and so forth. You know, so, I mean, some of it might be good because they used it in the Bible. Abraham used it. You know, and even in the story of the prodigal son, he talked about, you know, when he returned, the father said, bring forth the fatted calf and kill it. You know, and because of these things being referenced in the Bible and stories that Jesus told, then we know that they must be healthy. And if you look, you'll find that they are actually healthy based on nutritional science today. Pork, on the other hand, the Bible says, stay away from it. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 7 says, swine and different things, include, you know, stay away from them. Of their flesh ye shall not eat. Leviticus 11, 7 and 8. But I know that pork is a delicacy. These days, it's found in so many different kinds of meats that we eat. But, you know, the Lord says, stay away from it because it's not healthy, not because it's sinful. None of these things are sinful, but they may not be healthy, you know. So don't think of them as, you know, sinful anymore. There's a story in Acts chapter 10 where Peter was told, rise up and kill four-footed beasts. And since then, Peter was looking in the vision and said, no, these are the things that God called unclean. Why tell me to eat them? I've never eaten any unclean stuff in my life. He said, well, what God has cleansed, don't call unclean. So not unclean because, I mean, not, you know, not instructed to not eat them because they are unclean anymore, but perhaps they're not healthy for you. And medical science gave us an advantage today. God said, knowledge shall increase. So take advantage of the knowledge. You know, but we don't do it to the point where we drive ourselves crazy. Praise the Lord. Remember, you know, if they shall drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Now, the scripture says if, not that you should go and look for deadly stuff and be eating it and drinking it. You know, that's wisdom there. You don't go and tempt God and say, well, I'm going to eat poison. Then it's not going to hurt me. It will hurt you and the person will die. But if by adventure somebody snuck a little poison into your food or whatever, it won't hurt you because you are walking in the law, because that's somebody that's doing it, not that you are trying to do it to yourself. And, you know, so, you know, a lot of that is about, you know, then what about unclean birds? You know, well, in same Leviticus, you talk about unclean birds. What about clean birds? You'll see that in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 20. Some of them today might be chicken, turkey, dogs, and so on. Well, you know, I'm just going through this very quickly, bringing awareness that there might actually be a great deal of study in the Bible for these things that are yet to be discussed or discovered, you know. So now, here is a lesson of wisdom for us. Just because something doesn't taste good does not mean it's not nutritious. To the contrary, it might actually, you know, be good, you know. So now Jesus talked about egg and all these things, you know. When did he talk about egg? Well, he said in Luke chapter 11, if a son shall ask bread, so the good things that Jesus mentioned here, bread is good. You won't give him a stone, right? Well, he talked about egg, which means it's good. If you ask for egg, will you give him a scorpion? So scorpion is not good. Stone is not good. You can't eat those things. But bread is good. Egg is good. Because Jesus is talking about it here. Well, some people have said, well, this portion of the egg is good or that's not good. Well, I leave that for discussion. But Jesus said, talked about egg here, talked about bread, and he even talked about, you know, fish. You know, you don't give them, a serpent if you ask for fish. So there's three things he talked about here: bread, fish, and egg. So those things might be good if you find the pure ones, not the ones that have been contaminated with processed chemicals and so on. So poultry and eggs, you know, my goodness, they've done all kinds of things with they breed chicken these days with chemicals. And so you got to find out what you are eating. Some stuff that people call organic, which may or may not be truly organic. It may be deceiving you, but if it was truly organic, then it probably doesn't have all these processed chemicals in it. And that will be good. There's vegetables, you know, that, you know, the Lord mentioned in the Bible. Numbers chapter 11, verse 5. You know, the disciples said, we remember the fish which we ate in Egypt freely. The cucumbers, you know, those things are in the Bible. The melons, you know, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. Some people don't even know that garlic is in the Bible. I have found, I was talking to my wife the other day, and we talk about this all the time. For me personally, and this is not a doctrine, I'm just talking. All these things I'm speaking here today, they're not doctrines, we're just talking. Garlic, for me personally, the best antibiotic. There's no either over-the-counter or prescription antibiotic that even comes close for me, for garlic. When I start to have a little cold coming on, I can take all the prescription medicine in the world. It doesn't work for me. But a little garlic, a little garlic here and there, my goodness, it knocks that thing away. It doesn't smell good, but powerful stuff. But garlic is in the Bible, in case you don't know. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 5. I'll tell you there. You know, so there's a lot of things in the Bible just to bring in awareness to it. There's oils in the Bible too. We see that oil was used in the story of Elijah and the widow. You know, she had a little flour that she wanted to bake and oil and all of these things. These things are in the Bible, you know. And listen to this, Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, and verses 7 and 8. Lord shall bring you into a land, you know, good land, brooks of water and so forth, you know, and a land of wheat and barley and vines, you know, and fig trees and pomegranates. Those are in the Bible. Those are good stuff. People have found that out. And olive oil and honey. All these things that the Lord called the land is good, and he mentioned these things, then that must be good stuff. And nutritional science has actually found that these things are good stuff. Today, but what has happened to the oil? Well, people have processed it in a way that it's not like, you know, I mean, processed oils today, they take it from, you know, original seeds like sunflower seeds, and then they process it with severe heat and many things. And by the time you're finished, it's not even anything close to where they started with. Why they do all those things, you know, your guess is as good as mine. You know, and then they've got all these, you know, saturated oils, you know, and so forth, you know, now have fats and so forth, margarine and all these things and so forth. And they're called shortenings. You know, many of these things create cholesterol, block our arteries, and so on and so forth. Now, talking about blocking arteries, well, you know, we better need to stay away from food that can block our arteries. Just think of the plumbing in your house. When your pipes are clogged up, the water won't come out, or it will come out polluted. So just think of that. I mean, think of the blood that's supposed to be flowing freely through our arteries, but if they are blocked or clogged up by all these things, well, people have shortages, and they go into, you know, various things can happen, stroke, cardiac arrest, all kinds of things. You know, these things are alluded to in the Bible. You know, however, you know, let me give you a general, some general exhortations here. You know, Psalm 139 verse 14 says, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. you know, and marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth well, right? You know, his works are marvelous. The things that God created, they are marvelous. In the beginning, he created them and he said they are good. Now, when man took it and massaged it with all kinds of things, it's not so marvelous anymore. God said, look, in 3:2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth, you know. So that's what God wants us to have, is good health. Good health is what God wants us to have. Praise the Lord. Now, 3:16, we talked about, you know, 6:19 and so forth yesterday. But let me give you also this in 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy. But the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. You know, so, you know, don't put all these toxic things that will defile that temple. Of course, we know that it's also talking about spiritual things like fornication and so, but it's also talking about health. Don't put all this crazy stuff in our body and then begin to pray that God will heal us. We may be working against our health. You know, I've seen some young people that eat all kinds of junk food because they think, young people somehow think that they live forever. They just think that in their minds. Well, these things catch up with them later on. We're finding that more and more young people today, you know, in this generation that we live in, are now having stroke and heart disease and so forth, which in the past did not used to be. I mean, young people are usually healthy because they do a lot of movement, exercise, and so on. You know, whether intentionally or otherwise, just their nature of their, you know, being so active, you know, burn a lot of things up. But today, you know, and I'll let the medical people in this room tell us these things when we get into discussions, but this is stuff that I know. Well, you know, we're told that we should keep our heart. Proverbs chapter 4:23 say, keep your heart with all diligence. You know, don't put all these fattening, greasy stuff that cause cholesterol in your heart, you know, and body. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I said the other day when we started that faith is the heart throb of the soul, just like the heart is for the body. Your heart, you know, you need that heart pumping to keep the body alive. So keep it, we're told. Keep it. Keep your body clean. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12. I'm just giving you verses that, you know, pay, you know, point attention to how we keep our bodies. Keep your body pure, he says. Present it a living sacrifice, you know, acceptable unto God. It's your reasonable service. Praise the Lord. And then 5:23 says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. You know, so, you know, the health care of our body is important to God. He mentions it in all these places. Praise the Lord. All right. I went through that very quickly because I just wanted to bring that in. You know, again, my disclaimer is I am not a health nutritionist or any such thing. And you know me, I'm a faith teacher or preacher. But because of the subject that we are dealing with, you know, we got to go into these things. Now, this part, this is the last part that I'm going to read today, then we'll call it out for discussion. This part here was taken from a series when we did the wisdom pillars, the pillars, 7 pillars of wisdom. And it's a good series. If you have not heard it, you should hear it. Under the pillar of prudence, I took something out of there that I wanted to read. There are several things about prudence. One of them I call the ability to manage your health responsibly in observing God's health laws. You know, I'm not going to go into the entire lesson of prudence here, but I just picked that one out because it relates to this topic. 1 Corinthians 10:31 you know, I ask a question out of that. Does your eating and drinking glorify God? Because 10 and 31 tells us to make sure we glorify God in our eating and drinking. Now, if you don't take care of your health, medical science will tell you this, you may suffer many things and you might need medical attention and healing sometimes too. But if you are prudent, so this is now we're talking about healing, you know, faith will get you healed. Wisdom can give you health. If you stay away from all those things that are negative and you eat the right things, that's why I went to all those things in the Bible. You know, if you are prudent in managing your health, you probably can enjoy what we call divine health. Most of the time, it comes from the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives in the Bible of things to eat, what to do, what to stay away from. And medical science has come and confirmed some of those things. Now, I searched this out when I was dealing on the lessons of prudence. And I got this article from the National Institutes of Health. You know, you can search it out yourself. It says the National Institute of Health, you know, listed out dietary factors that may have disease risks or risk for disease. And here are some of the things they said. I mean, this is medical science from the National Institutes of Health. This is not my making. I got this straight out of their site. If you eat too much, they said, you may become overweight and obese. And at times, this will put you at risk for many heart diseases. Well, didn't Jesus himself talk about eating and drinking? In Luke chapter 21, verse 34, I talked about it yesterday. Say, take heed lest your heart be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, which may even cause people to miss the rapture. You know, and this Institute of Health is talking about it. Eating too much make you overweight and obese and put you at risk. They say, well, if you eat too much sugar, salt, or fat in your diet, it can raise your risk for certain diseases. Now, he said, healthy eating can lower your risk for heart disease, can lower your risk for stroke, lower your risk for diabetes. They didn't say it can prevent everything, but say can lower your risk. And even other health conditions. You know, if you eat healthy, it can lower your. And there's even people that have found some natural remedies that can even, you know, wind the clock back in some cases of bad things that's already in our systems. A healthy eating plan, they said, should include, you know, the emphasis they put on, they say, vegetables, fruits, whole grains, fat-free or low-fat dairy products. You know, you might have some poultry, some fish, some beans, some eggs and nuts, but you would limit saturated and trans fats. It will limit sodium, you know, added sodium. It will also limit added sugars. Now, this is from the National Institute of Health. And then it says there are major cardiometabolic diseases like heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes, and so forth. He said, look, these things pose substantial health and economic burdens on society, and some of them can be avoided or limited if you do eat right and exercise and so on. You know, so now here's my own point that I put in here. There is no point in praying for good health or believing for good health or abundant living, like Jesus said, John 10:10, if we are constantly going to be piling toxic things into our body. You're going to put poisons in your body all the time, and then you're going to talk about, I want to be healthy, I want to live abundant life. Well, think again. You know, so, and last but not the least, let me read to you again the warning that Jesus gave. I alluded to it two or three times, but let me read it to you again. Straight out of the scriptures, you know, and nobody, you know, Paul himself said, look, all things may be lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of anything. Now, anything that grabs a hold of you to which you can't shake the thing off, that's a dangerous thing. You know, people are addicted to certain kinds of foods and so forth. That's a dangerous thing. Nothing should have power over you except the Holy Spirit. You know, say, take heed to yourselves. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. Lest at any time your hearts should be overcharged with surfeiting. Surfeiting is a lifestyle that is just eat and eat. You can't take your food, your eye away from. You see any food, you must eat it. Drunkenness, cares of this life. Well, Jesus warned that, you know, these things might actually make somebody miss the visitation of God so that they come upon you unawares. Well, I say, well, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth, and more so on people who are engaged in this lifestyle of surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life. So these are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me go back to the beginning and wrap this up in saying that this is not intended to be a lesson on nutrition or so, but we are talking about faith and wisdom. We use faith to get our healing. We can also use faith to get health and wellness. You've got to believe that God is able to keep you healthy according to his promises. I gave a lot yesterday. But wisdom comes, on the other hand, to buttress these things. They're not opposite each other, but they are complementary. While you're having faith, you must also be using wisdom. Praise the Lord. Wisdom to protect yourself. And God put certain things in our body. He built it, wired our body like that. You know, that we are just like that. You don't go jump off the cliff. You don't go run in front of a moving train. You don't go run in front of a moving car. And God wired these things into our body. Self-preservation and these things, and wisdom to know how to look before you leap. These things are there. But if we don't follow those things, or there is a demonic attack in the mental faculty, then people begin to do crazy stuff. So this lesson is to show us that through faith and wisdom, we can have the best of both worlds. You know, and I showed to you yesterday how healing in God's mind actually includes your wellness. Exodus 15:26. I will put none of these sicknesses and diseases upon you, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. So as far as God is concerned, the fact that you are not sick is also part of his healing program. I will not put them on you because I am the Lord that healeth you. So that's the lesson for today. Use your faith to receive healing when you need it. Follow God's prescription. Call for the elders of the church and so on and so forth. But also follow the prescriptions that we're putting out here by wisdom. Use wisdom also to know how to eat the right food. Perhaps you will live long, like these people we saw in the Bible that lived very long. Praise the Lord. Well, let me leave it there. I hope you enjoyed that. I'm going to call for a discussion. Like I said, there are people that are more qualified in this room to talk about these things than myself. But I brought them out from a scriptural perspective that these are lessons worth researching from the Bible. And so, as we go through our lives, let's equip our lives with faith and wisdom. That's what we're getting out of the book of James. You must have both faith and wisdom, not one or the other, but both of them. You know, we're not pitting wisdom against faith or pitting faith against wisdom. No, we're saying use faith, use wisdom, use them both and have a well-rounded life. Praise the Lord. Well, let me close it with a quick short prayer over the room. Father, Lord, I thank you for this lesson again and faith and wisdom. And also today on, you know, how we handle our body with respect to nutrition. I pray, Lord, that, you know, these words will spark something interest in our hearts to search the scriptures, Jesus said, for in them there is words of eternal life. Well, we search the scriptures today, and let's talk more about it. We pray that there will be inspiration of the Almighty in our minds and hearts, even the speakers that will speak by inspiration, to give us all wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing, and with all that getting, get also understanding. We pray that the Holy Spirit give us understanding concerning these things that we are talking about. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.